Oh, praise the Lord. And would you stand? I made one mistake. Brother Mackey preached the 78th time this morning, but he preached this afternoon, which was 79, so this will be the 80th time, and not 79. So. All right. He always does such a superb job. He has a great way of communicating the gospel to people. And when he preaches, he's so positive, you just want to serve God. You want to serve God even more than ever before. We're glad this time that Sister Mackey can come, and Brother Mackey is going to have her to come up. But we'd like for you to give both Brother and Sister Mackey a great big warm welcome. Would you do that? Come on, Brother Mackey.
Thanks for being kind, Brother.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. You may be seated this evening. Nice to see each and every one of you in the house of the Lord tonight. And thankful for the wonderful touch of the Lord that has been in each and every service today. And I just never get tired of the moving of the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. How precious that is. And Sister Mackey and I are so privileged to be back in Madison for today, and so value our friendship with Brother and Sister Grant in this church. And it's our desire to be a blessing to you today, not just for this day, but next week and maybe next month. Something we have said will make a difference in your life. We are happy to have Sister Judith Mackey with me, my wife of 46 short years. Amen. All right. Those two fellas.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, I've just enjoyed being with all of you so much, and I enjoyed the worship service that we've had tonight, and I especially love all those involuntary amens and hallelujahs that I hear around here. You know, not the kind that are coerced or forced, but those involuntary ones. And I was not raised in Pentecost. I was raised in a Seventh-day Adventist home and in a Seventh-day Adventist church. And we never had worship like we had in this church tonight. It was so quiet and silent, you could hear a pin drop. And Brother Mackey witnessed and won me to the Lord. And when he first brought me to church, I'd never been in a Pentecostal church before. And he didn't sit me way back there where there's nothing going on and people are sleeping. He sat me right down here where all the action is, you know. But the Lord had his hand in it and knew exactly what he was doing, because I was really hungry and really wanted something from God. I was 17 years old and really hungry for the Lord. Came from a very dysfunctional family and needed the Lord. And the Lord sat me in a pew, and right behind me was a little grandma by the name of Sister Matternich. She was 71 years old. In fact, she stood up to testify that day. And she had a little wrinkled face and white hair. And she told how she was 1 year old in the Lord. And I remember turning around and looking at her and thinking, she must be senile or something. What is she talking about that she's only 1 year old? I didn't get the part about in the Lord. I didn't understand any of that. And she just testified. And when I looked at her face, there were just tears streaming down her face. And I was just awed that somebody could actually cry and feel the presence of God. I'd never seen that before. And then the Holy Ghost fell on her and just fell all over her, and she started to dance a little jig, and she punched me right in the back of the head. And that's the first time I've ever been in a Pentecostal church. I guess the Lord knew that I just needed that punch in the back of the head to wake me up. But you know what? People don't understand that we have something in here that we get excited about, and that God has done something for all of us, and we just can't keep silent. Look at what he's done for us. Look at where he's brought you from. Look at what he's delivered you from. Look at the prayers that he's answered for you. And you can't help it. And sometimes you just have to tap your toe and clap your hands and shout hallelujah and run around the church, because we know him and all of the things that he has done in our lives. Don't you love him tonight? I love him tonight, and I'm so happy to be here. The Lord bless you.
Let's all stand again, shall we, please? That's where we always have to go out and get something to eat after church. We're standing up, sitting down. Look at the exercise we get in this building in an hour and a half, you know. Hallelujah. Again, at the close of the service, this altar will be open. And do yourself a favor and make your way to an altar. Amen. And allow God to touch your life. There's nothing forced here. There's nothing coerced. But the best thing you can do is just open up your heart. Let the word of God and the Spirit of the Lord just penetrate your understanding. Because no one loves you like Jesus. Nobody. Amen. And he's the best thing that's ever happened to me. He is. Let's open our Bibles while we stand one more moment and turn to the book of Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 in our Bibles. In verse 1. Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, it says, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, which was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, actually. It says, And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Verse 4, And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Let's pray one more time, shall we? Again, Jesus, thank you for your word, for your spirit, for what you desire, God, to accomplish in every individual life in this place. God, I ask that you would help us to minister your word, help us to receive it. God, for your glory and honor. And God, have your way, I ask you. In Jesus' name we pray. Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated this evening. Now, in Acts chapter 3, here is a certain man who has never walked a step in his entire life, lame from his mother's womb. And now that he is a man, all he can do is to sit by the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and beg for alms. Having a money cup, people are going in and out of the temple. Alms, alms, and maybe somebody would put some money in his cup. Now on this day, when Peter and John walked by, Peter fastened his eyes upon him and said, Look on us. So the man gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He was holding up his money cup to receive some money. That's why Peter said, Silver and gold have I none. Now, silver and gold was not what this man needed. Silver and gold would not have caused him to walk. Silver and gold would not have healed his crippled limbs. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, not the next week, not the next month, immediately strength entered into his ankle bones, and he began to walk and leap and praise God of all places right in the church, in the temple. So it's all right every now and then to walk, leap, and praise God in the church. Now, every time you and I come to church, we are like this lame man spiritually. Jesus was very blunt when he looked at his disciples and said, Without me, ye can do nothing. You cannot accomplish a spiritual work just through natural means. It's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So we come to church, and we sing songs, we worship the Lord, we have testimonies, we have a man preach the word of God. Why do we do this? To make the service last longer? And really make you feel like you've been in church. That's not why we worship and preach. We do that to get your attention and your focus off of everybody and everything else and putting all of your attention on the Lord God. When Peter said, look on us. Do you understand the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth? And he wants to show himself strong. Not weak, strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. I believe with all my heart that God is looking at us. But we need to look to him. And we need to look to his word. The God that said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be trees, and there were trees. And the God, amen, who gave us this precious word, and this God whose spirit is in this place tonight. Folks, because there are tendencies to look at who's there and who isn't there. There are tendencies to look at who's in the pulpit, who's not in the pulpit. There are so many things that we can look at. But I encourage every one of you tonight not to look at me, not to look at this congregation, but to look at God and his word. Amen. And really expect to receive something from him. Because there are individuals in this building, they need an immediate touch on their body. They need an immediate filling of the Holy Ghost. They need immediate forgiveness of sins. They need an immediate answer in their marriage. Not next week, not next month, but tonight. Why don't we all raise our hands and look to the Lord right now? Jesus, we look to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With expectancy, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 is probably the most oft-quoted and memorized verse of scripture on faith that there is in the word of the Lord. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And people say, amen, Brother Mackey, that's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that's where I want to stop and give everyone in this congregation a slip of paper and a little pencil and say, explain to me, what does substance mean? And what does evidence mean? Boy, I don't know, Brother Mackey, but that really sounds spiritual. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I like how one translation says it. It says, faith is being convinced something is real, even though we haven't seen it yet. Faith is being convinced something is real, even though we haven't seen it yet. Do you know what we are guilty of sometimes in our apostolic churches? We pray for rain, and we leave our umbrellas at home. We pray for things and never really expect it to happen. Can't you see yourself walking down the streets of Madison on a sunny day with your umbrella up? I knew you Calvary Gospel people were weird, but now I'm convinced. Why do you have your umbrella? You said, because I prayed for rain. God answers prayer, and rain is on its way. So you better go home and get your umbrella, because that's faith. This is faith right here. I love Kleenex around an altar. That means we're convinced someone's going to be touched by God. Someone's going to have tears. Someone's going to have to blow their nose. Folks, really, it takes faith to keep Kleenex around an altar. I go to some churches, and I look in their baptistry. I love to see water in the baptistry. That means we're always expecting somebody to be baptized in Jesus' name. Whether it's 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, after service. I looked at some baptistries, no water. A quarter inch of dust, a few dead spiders and crickets, and looks like it hasn't been used in 6 months, you know. But folks, we're convinced it's real even though we haven't seen it yet. We tell people, you read the book of Acts, that's us. You know, they believed in repentance and So do we. They baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and so do we. They spoke in tongues, and so do we. But sometimes, folks, we are so subnormal spiritually that if we would ever get normal, it would seem abnormal. You know? Folks, in the book of Acts, it was normal for people to receive the Holy Ghost. Normal for deliverance to take place. Normal, amen, for sinners to be convicted. Normal to have a move of the Spirit of God. It was normal. I'll never forget, some years ago, I was a man invited me to preach at his church for the weekend on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so I gave him a date, and I arrived at his house on a Friday afternoon, and we were eating dinner. I'll never forget, we were eating pork chops for supper. And he said, "Brother Mackey, no one has received the Holy Ghost in this church for 7 years." I choked on my pork chop, you know. Now, folks, that's not normal. That's actually abnormal. That is subnormal, but it's not normal. And I said, "Well, sir, that's not God's fault. Because God wants to fill people with the Holy Ghost. And God wants to move in our midst." So we preach Friday night, wonderful move of God. But no one yielded to the Spirit of God, and no one received the Holy Ghost. But there was liberty there. I preached Saturday night, no one received the Holy Ghost. Again, good move of God. Sunday morning, good move of God, but no one received the Holy Ghost. Sunday night, God filled 3 men with the Holy Ghost, and they were speaking in tongues. And I was excited, but you know what? I almost had to run to the office and get the telephone and call 911 for people that were fainting. Oh, you mean God still does it? Yeah, give that lady some oxygen. God still does it. So, folks, don't anyone ever leave this service and say, "Can you believe what God did?" Yes, I believe what God did. Hallelujah. It's normal. Folks, when I preach, I just expect people to be touched by God. I expect people to receive the Holy Ghost when I open up the altar. And so, folks, it should be normal for people to be healed here. Normal for marriages to be put together. Normal, amen, for deliverance to take place in our hearts. But the only way we're going to be normal is to get our eyes off of everything and everybody and look to God and His Word and expect it to happen. Now, let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, in our Bibles. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. In verse 46, John chapter 4 and verse 46. It says, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way." Now here's a man that traveled, all right, 17 miles, all right, from Capernaum to Cana. 17 miles. With expectancy. 17 miles convinced, Jesus can heal my son. I mean, did he hop in his Buick or his Chevy or his Ford? They didn't have cars. He didn't get on his Honda motorcycle. He didn't get on his 10-speed mountain bike, because they didn't have that either. He either walked 17 miles, or most likely he got on his little burro. 17 miles with expectancy. Jesus can heal my son. So he says, "Jesus, come down, because my son's at the point of death and he could die any minute." Do you know what Jesus did? He just kind of splashed cold water on his faith. He said, "Except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe." The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, or my child die. When he was saying that, he was saying, Lord, I don't know about signs, and I don't know about wonders. And Lord, honestly, I don't know about that. But Lord, my faith is not in signs, and my faith is not in wonders, but my faith is in you, Jesus. Come down and heal my son. Now, when Jesus realized the man's faith was not in signs, and the man's faith was not in wonders, but the man's faith was in him, Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the whole story would be in vain except for the next phrase, The man believed the word. Did he say, Are you sure, Lord? Are you positive? No, Lord, I didn't want to go back home and my son is dead. He was convinced it was real, even though he hadn't seen it yet. Go thy way, thy son liveth. He believed the word. I like to call him the man that went home with the word in his pocket. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Thank you for the word, Lord. Sticks it in his pocket, hops on his burro. Goes 5 miles, stops at a rest area. All he has is the word. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Thank you for the word, Jesus. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Thank you for the word, Jesus. He comes home and the servants come on and said, Your son is healed. When did it happen? He said, About the seventh hour. And he said, It was at the seventh hour that Jesus spoke the word. What could ever happen to us if we ever really believe the word that Jesus speaks unto us? Or does the Lord say unto you individually, I accept you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Lord, my faith is not in signs, and my faith is not in wonders, and my faith is not in faith, but my faith is in God and His Word, because God cannot lie. See, Peter toiled all night, the Bible lets us know. In the book of Matthew, he toiled all night, threw the net in the water, pulled it back out, no fish. Threw the net in the water, pulled it out, and no fish. Threw the net in the water, pulled it out, and there was no fish. He did this all night. So he comes in to shore, and Jesus is standing there, and he said, Hey, Peter, put your net in the water one more time. And Peter could have said this. He didn't, but he could have said, Lord, you know, things you have said in the past have made sense. But Lord, this doesn't make any sense. I'm a fisherman. I've toiled all night. My biceps are sore. My triceps are sore. My latissimus dorsi muscles are sore. I am sore. But he said, Lord, I have toiled all night. And he said, Lord, I'm sore. And he could have said, No, Lord, I just don't think it's going to do any good to put my net in the water one more time. And Lord, to be honest, I just really don't feel like putting my net in the water one more time. And Lord, I just don't see how it's going to do any good to put my net in the water one more time. But Peter said, Lord, I have toiled all night, but nevertheless at thy word, I'm going to let down my net. And he put his net in the water one more time. And there were so many fish, they had to get another boat over there. And there were so many fish, both boats began to sink. But you know what? We in our flesh, we are influenced many times by what we think. And what we feel, and what we see. I've been evangelizing now for 37 years. I talk to people. I just don't think God can help me in this situation. I just don't feel like God's going to give me the Holy Ghost. I just don't see how God can move here. The challenge of God to us tonight is not to be influenced by what we think, or what we feel, or what we see, but by what the word of God says. Now, if I went by what I could see alone, I would have had a nervous breakdown my first 6 weeks as an evangelist. Because you ought to see what you can see sitting up here. In fact, every one of you should take turns sitting up here. The song leader's up there saying, Now come on, folks, we need to worship God. Come on, let's raise those hands. Let's clap those hands. And I look out there and I see people saying, Well, should I raise my hands or not? Yeah, I think I can get one hand up here to God. Yeah. Okay. All right? I've been on platforms, and I look up there, and I see people balancing their checkbook. I see people looking at wedding proofs. I see people reading the Pentecostal Herald. I've heard the clip, 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 clip of a fingernail clipper. Really? Yeah. Sometimes I'm on the platform and say, no way, God. Oh, Lord. You know? And then here comes a woman with her fresh, cute, adorable, huggable, kissable little baby. She sits in the fourth pew, puts the baby over her shoulder. And immediately people in the fifth pew and the sixth pew and the stop worshiping. They stop listening to the preacher and they start playing with the baby. Hi, honey, you are so sweet. Yeah, I love you, you cutie, you. And I've seen nine-month-old babies get more attention than God. And then you always see this. It's amazing how wide awake we are 1/2 hour after church, you know? So they say, all right, Brother Mackey's here to preach the word of God to us. Folks, by faith I stand up. And by faith I feel my way to a pulpit. And by faith I open up the word of God. And by faith I begin to preach. And do you know what? Somebody out there is going to put their net in the water one more time. Hallelujah. I want the touch of God. I want the Holy Ghost. I need the Spirit and the touch of God in my life. Hallelujah. And the challenge of the word is don't go home with an empty net. Amen. Put your net in the water one more time and let God do something for you. Oh, let's clap our hands for the Lord. That's why, I don't care how many times you've been to an altar to receive the Holy Ghost, you come one more time. How many times you've been anointed, come on, one more time. I'm not going to go by what I think or what I feel or what I see, but at thy word, Lord, I'm going to let down my net. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 13 in our Bibles. Matthew chapter 13 in our Bibles. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, it says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The he is Jesus Christ. The there is Nazareth. Now, he did some mighty works, but he did not many. Now, I'm not sure how much many is to God, but he did not do many mighty works there because they were not convinced he could do mighty works. Do you understand? The book of Acts is still being written. The Lord keeps records of every service, amen, that never goes on. I mean, and if it was written in Madison, well, there were not many mighty works. There was some, but there were not many mighty works done there because, what would the reason be? There were not many mighty works done in Madison because they did not have choir robes. Do you have choir robes in this church? See, I felt that when I walked through the doors this morning. Okay. I tell you, every church I preach in that has choir robes, people get the Holy Ghost like that. Boy, I think we should get some green and gold choir robes. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You're right. Okay. Those colors were just in my mind for some reason tonight. Okay. Or Jesus could not do many mighty works in Madison because they did not have a plexiglass pulpit. Folks, all these churches that have these see-through pulpits, oh, man, people get healed instantly with that. I think we should, man, you ladies sew some choir robes and somebody go out and raise some money for a plexiglass pulpit. And if I ever get back here again, I cannot wait. God is going to be in this place. And some of you are looking at me so serious. If there are not many, everyone say many. If there are not many mighty works done right here, it has nothing to do with the choir robes, nothing to do with the pulpit. It's because we did not expect him to do mighty works. No wonder the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Don't let me go by what I think or feel or see, but your word. Now let's turn to Psalm 62 in our Bibles. Psalm 62 in our Bibles. And verse 5. Out of the 31,173 verses in the Word of God, this is close to being my most favorite verse of Scripture. Psalm 62 and verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. My soul, not my flesh, not my body, but my soul. Do you understand sometimes the flesh wants things that the soul doesn't really need? But what counts tonight is your soul. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Why? Because that's where my expectation is. My expectation is from him. Now, we in our apostolic churches sometimes put our expectation in a lot of different things and you know, unique things. And now, when Sister Mackie and I were Sunday school directors of Wisconsin, they would start the camp meeting on Sunday night and go through Friday. Sister Mackie and I had to be in the campground. We usually lived on the campground for 3 weeks because of the camp meeting and the youth camps. But it's amazing because we're already there and people are coming in Sunday afternoon. And they're setting up their campers, moving into the dorms, setting up their tents. And doing, they are excited. Wow! Camp meeting. Yes. And you know what? The tabernacle's locked, but they just touched the doorknob. Wow! I feel it already. God is going to be here. Yeah. And they go to church and they go to the first night of camp and suddenly there's a, you know, there's about 1,500 people there. There's 30 preachers sitting on the platform. And God is here. And there are some people that can shake their leg at camp meeting. Whoa! That don't shake it again the whole year till the next camp meeting. There are some people, big crowds, big faith. Little crowds, little faith. Some people put their expectation in crowds. Some people put their expectation in camps. Do you know why there's never been a bad camp meeting? People just expect it to be good. Sometimes I wish people would go to their own church like they go to camp meeting. Wow! God is going to be in this place tonight. Amen. Where is your faith? And then other people put their expectation in music. Now, we have great music in our apostolic churches. We do. I've heard so many solos, duets, trios, quartets, quintets, sextets, septets, eightets, and ninetets. Folks, music. I mean, we got synthesizers. I know we have to keep our drummer in a cage anymore, but we still have the drums. And I mean music. And I mean when the Leslie speaker's vibrating and the bass is playing and the drums are beating. It's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Whoa! Yes, God is here. But I've been in some churches, I don't know what happened if the drummer broke a stick. If the bass player broke a string, if the synthesizer blew a fuse, how are we going to have a move of God? We don't have any drums. Aren't you glad they had drums on the day of Pentecost? But you know what? Some people have more faith in a fast song than a slow song. I've been in churches and I sing, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. And I feel churches getting restless. Come on, Brother Mackey, let's hit it. Let's get with it here. Because this is their song. We want our way, Lord. We want our way. Do you know how many services I'm in anymore as an evangelist when church is over? You know, people are saying, boy, do you know what we did tonight? Boy, we got with it. You know what we did tonight? Honestly, folks, I'm not concerned with what we did. But what did God do? Who did God touch? Who did God heal? And who did God fill with the Holy Ghost? What did God do? And don't go around Wisconsin saying Brother Mackey's against drums. And don't tell him I don't like little babies either, all right? Because they're cute and precious and kissable. But you're looking at one evangelist. I refuse to ever manipulate any church I'm in. I'm not going to sing a fast song just to get them going or sing a slow song. Folks, someone has to say, God, what song do you want? Amen. There has to be, God, I want your spirit to move in this place. Hallelujah. But where is your faith? Is it in crowds, camp, music? And then some people put their faith in a day of the week. I'll go to church and preach my guts out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And know what the people are saying? Sunday, Brother Mackey. Sunday. That's when it happens around here. I remember I was at one church and the pastor got up on a Sunday night and he said, folks, it's Sunday night. We need to worship God. It's Sunday night. And I'm over there sitting and saying, why don't you do that on Wednesday night or Thursday night? But Sunday, you know, some people actually have more faith on Sunday than Monday. Where is your faith? No, my expectation is in God and His Word, because it never changes. Now, I do try to give so many of my weeks every year to home missionaries. My father started a number of churches. I started leading a song service when I was 11 years old. And, you know, crowds, you know, just don't bother me because God is God and the Word is the Word. I mean, I was preaching a home missions revival up in the state of Maine, and the pastor started in his home with their little boy. So here's the pastor, his wife, and their little boy, and Sister Mackie and me. And we had three people in church that night. We had a guitar-playing nun, a Buddhist, and an atheist. How's that?
Yes.
The only music was the nun. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. But God filled the nun and the Buddhist with the Holy Ghost. The atheist just didn't give God much of a chance. Hallelujah. So there was a district that called me and said, Brother Mackey, this man and his wife are going to this town to start a church. And in 9 months, they know they're going to be ready for a revival. They're going to have some home Bible studies. And they figure it would be a good time. I said, I'd be happy to go. So I wrote a letter, communicated. I called again just to reconfirm. And I said, listen, we'll be there. So 9 months later, Sister Mackey and our daughter and myself, we pull up to this address. And here is a U-Haul truck with the doors open, filled with furniture. And here's a man and his wife and their two-year-old son. And he's looking at me strangely. And I said, I'm Brother Mackey. We're here for that revival. He says, oh, Brother Mackey, no, I forgot about this. He said, we were supposed to get here 9 months ago, and we just got here today. He said, we don't have people. He said, we don't have a building. We don't have anything. I said, listen, we'll get something done for God this week. I said, who was going to help you unload this truck? He looked at his wife and little kid, you know. I said, the first thing we're going to do is unload this truck. I moved a refrigerator. I moved a stove. I move mattresses. We put the last bed together at 1:30 in the morning. He said, boy, Brother Mackey, I'm glad you came. You've been a blessing already, you know? So I said, listen, we're going to have one service this week. One. Okay? On Friday night. He goes, Friday? I said, yeah, no one goes to church on Friday. They all go to church on Sunday. So I said, why don't we just have a Friday night service. I said, do you think you can find a building? He says, I'll find a building. So he went out and found the building, and we printed up these hot pink flyers that said, Holy Ghost meeting, one night only. Come and receive this glorious experience. And I don't know if it was against the law, but we put them under windshield wipers. We put them in mailboxes. Folks, we went over. Folks, we passed out 1,000 flyers. We did it every day for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Okay. So I never asked him about what he was renting. The building he rented was the Odd Fellows Temple. That's a good one for us odd fellows, right? All right. Odd fellows. And I walk in, and the building's about the size maybe of almost these two sections of pews, and he had 250 folding chairs set up. Everyone say 250. I walked in, I said, wow. He said, Brother Mackey, do you think 250 chairs is enough? All they have is 250 chairs. I said, listen, if we have more than 250 people, we'll just have them stand in the back. He goes, okay, he goes. Okay. 20 minutes to 7:30, no one's there, but the pastor, his wife, their son, Sister Mackey and me and our daughter, you know. And at 20 minutes to 8, here comes a woman with the pink flyer in her hand. Is this where the Holy Ghost meeting is? He said, yes, ma'am. Good to have you here. Be seated. Of course, there was not a floor that you know, angled like this. Everything was level. So he gets up there. We didn't have a pulpit. We just had a little music stand. He says, all right. He says, we're going to worship God. He sang one song, two songs, three. He sang five songs, and he sang Standing on the Promises and sang all five verses. And he says, all of you folks are singing so good. And I sat on the front row to make it look like we had more people, you know. He had testimonies. He had prayer requests. He said, all right, now we're going to take an offering tonight for Brother Mackey. It was my offering, so I just put more in. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. Oh, boy. And then he says, all right, now Brother Mackey is going to come and preach the word of God to us. Folks, I came over here to empty chairs and pointed my finger. I came over here to some more empty chairs and pointed my finger. Came right to this dear visiting woman and pointed my finger. And I finished preaching. I said, all right, we're going to open up this altar now for anyone that wants to receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. When I said that, this visitor woman stood up. She's coming down the aisle with tears on her face and the pink fly in her hand. I want the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that night, God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She left that building speaking with other tongues. Hallelujah. All because the preacher said, Brother Mackey, do you think 250 chairs is enough? 3 years later, this woman passed away. And in her will, she left 15 acres of ground to build a brand new church on. Because you think 250 chairs is enough? I'm not going to go by what I think, what I feel, or what I see. But at thy word, Lord, I'm going to let down my net. That is why if the word says it, you can expect it. If there's any man or woman here tonight with sin in your life, when you come to this altar and repent of sins, you can expect God to lift that heavy burden off of your life. Hallelujah. When you get in water and you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you can expect to be washed in the blood and be whiter than snow. If you need the Holy Ghost, if you've never spoken with other tongues, there's more for you to receive from God. When you are worshiping God and the hands are shaking and the lip is quivering and there's tears, folks, the same spirit that causes you to weep will cause you to speak. So when it's hard to worship God in English, you got to be convinced it's real. You need to open up your mouth and speak those beautiful sounds God is giving you to speak. God is a healer. He is. Hallelujah. Amen. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Sometimes we get anointed and we expect to feel 10,000 volts go through us. Now, and sometimes you don't feel anything but the oil running down the middle of your forehead. Now, I like the 10,000 volts myself, all right? But we don't go by what we feel. We go by what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. Amen. And God, you know what? He's El Shaddai. He's the all-sufficient one. As many people as we have in this building, we have that many needs and that many situations. Amen. And he's the answer to all of them. He is. So here we are, Lord, a little group of people in Madison, Wisconsin. We don't have any choir robes. We don't have a plexiglass pulpit. But it's Sunday night, though. Yeah. Let's all stand, shall we? Let's raise our hands and look to the Lord right now, because he wants to do wonderful works in our midst. Hallelujah. Somo koria samo te kohose kiatama. Come on, look to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know that, of course. Have faith in God.
Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, folks, it would, what an insult to God to encourage you to put your net in the water one more time and now just dismiss you and send you home and not give you an opportunity to put your net in the water one more time. And there are going to be people that need to be prayed for sickness. Come over on this side. I hope there's a lot of people. I hope you're lined up that aisle over there. Really. People that have needs in their life. Right here. People that need the Holy Ghost. They need salvation. Come on over on this side. But folks, don't go home with an empty net. Don't let doubt, fear, unbelief, what you think or feel, hold you in that pew. Let God put something in your net tonight. And we're going to have individuals come and pray with you and for you. But as we sing this chorus, have faith in God. Why don't we make our way to this altar tonight with an open net?